Fred Film Radio Interview.
You're listening to Fred Film Radio. This is Chiara Nicoletti, and today I'm in Rome for the Italian release of the Oscar-nominated film by Jean-Marc Vallée, Dallas Buyers Club, and I have the pleasure and the honor of being in company of first-time Oscar-nominated actor Matthew McConaughey.
Get our radio voice on.
Thank you. Buongiorno, Matthew.
Buongiorno.
So, Dallas Buyers Club is based on a real story of Ron Woodruff, who in 1985, when being diagnosed with HIV and given 30 days of life, fought to find an alternative cure to the very risky AZT. So, my first question would be, when you started thinking of this character, where did you start from to try and embody the Ron Woodruff's pattern?
Well, the first thing I did was humble myself to the source material, which is the original writer. Craig Borden had like 20 hours transcripts of interviews with Ron Woodruff. Then I went to see his family. They shared his diary with me. I've said this before, that was my secret weapon, because that gave me Ron Woodruff's monologue, so then I could go have the dialogue as an actor. It became clear to me early on that this was not a story of a man dying. It was a story about a man living, fighting to live. And as I said earlier, really trying to find variation with the emotion of rage, which is what really kept this guy alive. So as soon as I understood what he did for himself, for self-preservation, then I felt more confident in staying consistent with that man throughout, and trust that the humanity will come out of the son of a bitch. Trust that the crusader will come out of the businessman. And that was a very original part of this character. You know, he doesn't change. He doesn't have a big coming to life change and go, oh, I was, woe be my wicked ways of the past. He gets more compassionate and understanding, but he doesn't have that third act moment of going, oh my God, who was I? What have I become? And that's more like real life, I think. You know, so through his self-preservation is where he became the crusader.
Dallas Buyers Club is nominated for an Academy Award. You and Jared Leto are also nominated. Plus, you and Leto just won a Golden Globe for your roles in the film. So, what does the Academy Award nomination and the other awards that you have received mean to you, represent for your career and for you?
They mean that this film that we made, the performance that I gave, it communicated. It translated. And my favorite art translates. It sticks around. We finished this a year and a half ago. Well, obviously we've made something that's personal with people. We've made something that that hits a common denominator in everybody. That's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. And evidently, we're being, you know, people are saying, hey, well, you pulled that off. You did that. You know, an Academy Award is awards for excellence in filmmaking. This is what I do for a career. I've been doing it for 22 years.
Yes.
That makes me proud and honored that what I did, people are saying, hey, that really translated. That really communicated with me. That's, for me, what it's about if you can do it, you know. It doesn't always happen, but so I'm honored and happy to be, you know, being talked about in this award season, up in the top five for an Oscar nomination. I'm proud of this film. Like I said, so many of us lost a lot to get it made, and now it's being recognized.
Yes. After years and years of playing in action movies and romantic comedies, you decided that, to cite your own words in the press conference today, it was time to recalibrate your relationship with your career. You stopped accepting the usual roles you were hired for, which was risky. And finally, after a year, the first right and new roles came along. So, with your career, I guess you have somehow proven to Hollywood that you as an actor can set the rules on how they should consider you and see you. What do you think about it?
Oh, I didn't try to impose any rules. I just put my head down and went to work and became less concerned with how I was perceived, became less concerned with anybody's rules at all, besides my own. Much more selfish.
Is there something in Woodruff's journey, when you think about it and when you studied it, that made you think, well, this is something that I would never do or that I would never have done?
Something that he did? Is there something he did?
Yeah.
In my own life, say I would never do this?
I mean, I would never be able to do it.
No, because I wasn't... This is it. Look, the ultimate opposition is, you know, death.
Yes.
So... I in no way can personally say what I would or wouldn't do, or what anyone would or wouldn't do fighting for their own life. All the rules are thrown out then. You know, talk about self-preservation. You really see what someone, how far someone will go. You know, the ironic thing about Ron Woodruff is he found identity and structure in his life for the first time because he had HIV. That's when he found real purpose in his life. So I'm not going to put a ceiling on. I don't know what my ceiling would be.
Yeah. In the past few years, you worked with Friedkin, with Soderbergh, and now with Jean-Marc Vallée for Dallas Buyers Club. And I think you, and from these roles, you can actually get that you like, I think, a little bit to play the bastard, like the bad guy, more and more. So maybe in the end, they are, your characters are good guys, but...
Well, what I've been able to... Look, they've all been characters that were outcasts. They were characters that lived on the fringes of society. They were... You could say they were all anti-heroes, as a generalization. And what's good about an anti-hero is an anti-hero makes up his own rules. He doesn't abide or placate to anyone else's rules. So, they have a very clear identity. And I've been able to find clear obsessions with each character. You know, so if I can find that, that's very freeing for me as an actor. I never looked at them as bastards. You know, or I never looked at them as bad guys. But yeah, they were not your regular heroes, that's for sure.
Well, from what we said before, it's obvious so that you are good, at least at interpreting bad guys. Do you or did you get inspiration from the famous movie villains?
Movie villains?
Yeah.
None in particular. I will say this. My favorite villains, it sure seems to me that the performance, the villain never really thinks they're a villain. If you take Killer Joe, for instance, for me, he was about order. Get rid of chaos, create order. So that was a positive, affirmative move. He moved always out of affirmation. He was never trying to demolish things. He was trying to clean things up. Now, the way he did it was very violent, but he was about order. That was an affirmative, offensive move. He was never receding, you know. So everyone has different brands of justice, so to speak, you know, or what they deem as justice. I guess the one thing is I've noticed that my favorite villains don't play themselves as villains. There's a small scene in one of the Tom Cruise Mission Impossibles. And Philip Seymour Hoffman's one of the bad guys. I don't remember the line exactly, but the Tom Cruise character saying, like, you know, why are you going to do this bad thing? And the way Seymour Hoffman played it, he's like, no, but I mean, I'm going to have to. I won't be able to help myself. Which was not an attitude. It was not like, if you don't, I will. It wasn't a threat. It was like this guy couldn't help himself for being bad. So that's much scarier. If someone's like, it's not a choice I'm making. It's just me.
thank you. Thank you so much, Matthew McConaughey, for being here with us on Fairfield Radio and for presenting this great film, this Oscar-nominated film, Dallas Buyers Club. So, best of luck, and this is Chiara Nicoletti from Rome for the Italian release of Dallas Buyers Club. And you're listening to Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.